This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and SiriusXM Channel 371.
I'm Mark Packer. My partner is Wes Durham. Wes, good morning. What's up?
Hey, Pack. I'm great. Good to be with you. Hope you had a good evening. Everything all right there?
I'm still battling all kinds of stuff, but you know, Mrs. P's been up in the mountains, and I really can't wait for her to get back because
she's had enough.
No,
she's had enough. She's out.
Tag, you're it. I'm tired of dealing with you, you crippled knucklehead. She is up in the North Carolina mountains with her girlfriends, and so that leaves me to do cooking. And I just was not in the mood last night, so I went cucumber.
Uh-oh.
And popcorn, cucumber popcorn combination for dinner last night. So I, you know, I'm a mess.
What?
I want cucumbers and popcorn. That's what I made for dinner last night.
Together?
Well, you eat the cucumbers. I ate the cucumbers first, and then I went popcorn afterwards. And of course, I shared some of the popcorn with the hounds. They love popcorn. So,
of course, yes.
Yeah, so that's how I'm. Like that's kings. How I'm rolling. That's how I'm rolling right now. So. You know, I'm just trying forget getting to the starting line for college football. I'm just trying to get to the finish line at this last 4 or 5 weeks. That's kind of how I feel with all this stuff. So that's the latest from my end.
All right. Mark Herzlich and Dave Clawson and Mac Brown all live today on Packer and Durham. And your calls at 844-SAY-ACC. And we've got a topic that was sparked by a conversation we've had here in the last couple of days, and I hesitate to say we're going to cause a phone call at 844-SAY-ACCN. So there you go. We'll give it to you in just a second. Couple of news items here to start the show this morning. I guess the biggest one came yesterday afternoon when the NCAA announced they have now formed a Constitution Committee. It is a 23-member panel comprised of university presidents, athletic directors, and commissioners, and faculty athletic reps. I don't want to try and leave anybody out here.
And listen, Wes, when you got 23 dudes on the committee, you can't leave anybody out. Everybody's been added to this to save the NCAA.
Yep, they're going to save the NCAA, define college sports, propose a new governance model that allows for quicker change without sacrificing broader values. Is that vague enough? While either reaffirming or redefining those values. Whoa. Now, it is of note, there is two Power Five athletic directors on here, or one. Sandy Barber of Penn State is the one. Jim Phillips, the commissioner of the ACC, is on this list. All told, there of the 23, 13 are from Division I. The other 10 go through Division II and Division III. But if I'm correct in reading through this, Pack, I think I got this right. The only Power Five representation is Commissioner Jim Phillips and Sandy Barber, the athletics director at Penn State. Is that correct?
Wes, I saw it yesterday. I mentioned it for about 5 seconds on the radio show. And there were two words that I tied the whole thing together with. Good luck. I mean, the NCAA is going to try to rewrite itself by November when they get together. And, you know, 23 people in the room. I kidded around yesterday. Assuming I had 23 friends, if I brought all of those guys and girls into the same room and said, listen, we're going to try to actually get something done. And all 23 of us get along. I don't even know if we could get that done. So, again, good luck to the committee. I mean, you're going to need it. Best of luck.
All right. Shane Lyons, the AD at West Virginia, is also on this list. The president of Baylor is also on the list. So those are other Power Five representations.
Terrific.
So that's four. here's the quote from Jerry Moorhead of Georgia is on there, too. The president of Georgia.
Well, your math skills have been spectacular so far the first 5 minutes of the show.
Well,
spectacular.
I'm like you. I looked at it and I started seeing Carnegie Mellon and some of these other places, and I went, wait a second.
I blew it off. I gave it maybe 25 seconds of airtime yesterday afternoon and said, good luck. I mean, hey, NCAA, you've kind of pained yourself in this quarter, and you know, if you need to reinvent yourself, I hope it works out. Good luck.
Yeah. Very quickly, the quote from the commissioner, Jim Phillips, yesterday, being selected to serve as part of the Constitution Committee is an honor I take very seriously. We are committed to the best position in intercollegiate athletics for the future, and I'm looking forward to working collaboratively with the committee and colleagues across the country. Commissioner also says, now's the perfect time for a holistic approach and thorough review to determine the best path forward for our organization and ensure our top priority is the student athletes we serve. I don't disagree with anything the commissioner said. However, I would add this. How do we have 350-odd Division I schools in the room and add Division II, Division III? And, I mean, we have a problem in Division I. It's called Power Five and then everybody else. How do we then say we're going to add the other 100-and-some-odd D2 and D3 institutions to the mix, pack in this constitution, if you will?
Wes, there's two divisions. Now, let me just cut through all that nonsense. There's two divisions. You either you are part of the haves or you're a part of the have-nots. That's where we are. You either have the ability to conduct business or you don't. Simple as that. And not everybody should play college football. You know why? You can't afford to do it. And if you're into it,
right,
go for it and spend whatever you want, you know, whatever you can handle. You're either part of the haves or the have-nots. I don't even want to hear about Division I's, II's. Hey, what works for Morehead State probably doesn't work at the University of North Carolina. People are trying to squeeze all this into one. I just don't think it works anymore. This is a business, a multi-billion dollar business. And there are certain institutions that are playing by a certain set of rules in which they conduct their business. And there's some schools that go, man, I wish I had a recruiting budget of multiple millions of dollars. You can't set one rule for everybody when we're all playing by different rules. To me, this is business 101. So again, for the committee of 23, these are a bunch of smart, talented people. Good luck. Period. Good luck.
Yep. Yep. So there we go. Constitution Committee named yesterday by the National Collegiate Athletic Association, expected to begin work this fall. As we say, there are a handful of Power Five people on there, five or six of the 23. Be interesting to see what happens. Okay, let's move on, shall we? U.S. amateurs please. Underway at Oakmont in Pittsburgh. Rain delay yesterday. Jacob Bridgman not able to quite complete his second round. He is at still 7-under, tied for second. Georgia Tech's Ross Steelman is tied for sixth. Play resumes this morning at 7:30. And looking forward to seeing where Jacob and Ross end up in terms of match play.
My brother is producing this, and he's up there at Oakmont. He sent me a text last night and said it's the hardest golf course he has ever seen. Now, my brother's been all over the world producing golf events, but he said Oakmont is the hardest golf course he's ever seen. He said, once you get to match play, it is going to be insane. That was his quote when he texted me last night. So grab your popcorn.
Wow.
Kind of like what I did last night for dinner.
Yeah, I'll be.
Get that all over you.
Get some cucumbers and some popcorn.
Yeah, it's good. Good combo.
Big time dinner. Did you cut the cucumber up or were they already cut up for you?
No, I can handle that. I actually like to cook, but that was all I was going with last night. I just was not in the mood.
That's all you
to create anything yesterday. There you go.
That's good. All right. All right. You know how big a fan we are of preseason polls on the Packer Durham program here.
Love them.
Yeah. Mark especially is a big fan of preseason polls.
Especially the one that we're going to unveil because it will have absolutely, positively nothing to do with a real committee that will determine who's in and who's out with the college football playoff committee. So
that's right.
I said this yesterday on radio, Wes. Anybody that gets any college football fan that gets mad at the AP preseason poll or the coaches poll, you need to check yourself. because if you haven't figured it out now, we're 7 years in this college football playoff. The real poll, the only poll that matters, will be coming out late October, early November. That's the one you yourself with. Anybody that sees their team, whether they're ranked or not ranked, in the coaches or AP poll, when the AP comes out, you really have no idea what you're doing. Because by now, you should have figured out how this works. So do not get upset.
That's it.
Wherever your team is ranked or not ranked in these preseason polls.
That's very well said. Thank you. That all being said, the coaches' preseason poll is out, ladies and gentlemen. And the ACC has three teams ranked in the top 16 of the coaches' poll. Clemson is at 2. North Carolina is at 9. And Miami checks in at 16. Those are the three ACC schools in the mix. NC State, Virginia Tech, Pittsburgh, Boston College, and Florida State also receive votes in the coaches' poll.
Wes, I thought it was funny. We've got 65 coaches vote, right? 65 coaches vote in the USA Today coaches' poll. Do you know how many teams received? Do you know how many teams received at least one vote?
No, sir.
59. 59. We've got 130 play. 59 teams received a vote. Tremendous. Fantastic.
All right. Now I'm going to have to go look this up. I just saw where the ACC teams were because that's about how much I care about the preseason coaches poll, as you know. But now that you've done this, I'll have to go look and see who received votes.
59 teams by the coaches. I can't believe we couldn't get at least 60. I can't believe every coach that votes couldn't slide in their team, one, you know, a spot. You know, let me give them one vote here. 59 different teams got a vote. Again,
Jose State got 18 votes. San Jose State got 18 votes.
They're loaded. How would I know?
Ball State got 5. I mean, I like Mike New. Joel Gaudette does their games on radio. Nice guy. Whatever. But, I mean, come on now. What are we talking about? They got 5 votes? What are we doing?
Can we get to games? Seriously, can we just kind of fast forward? I know the coaches need practice. Like Manny Diaz said the other day, man, come on, man. We need at least a couple more weeks. I'll give everybody their practices. But I think all of us as fans are just ready to get to football. I think it's 17 days away from the start of the college football season. Of course, we're taking our road show Thursday, September 2nd to Raleigh. Looking forward to getting up with Tuffy and everybody else there at NC State as they get ready for South Florida coming to town. And, I mean, I just want to get to the games, right? We're just to the point.
Right.
Summer's been wearing on us. We've had transfer portals and name, image, and likeness and expansion and, you know, dog ate my homework, all that stuff. Let's just get to the games. Let's go.
Gout.
Almost died at the Turks and Caicos swimming in the ocean. I mean, I'm done. I have a torn tendon in my knee. I've had enough of 21. I'm just wanting, can we please get to September and kick the pig and see what's going to happen here? Please. 59 teams getting votes. 600 people on a NCAA committee. I mean, come on. Let's go. Let's get to football. Please.
All right. Coming up, a topic that was sparked by some of our conversation the last couple of days with remembering Bobby Bowden. 844-SAY-ACCN. Our staff, I got to tell you now, Drew Brooks, Josh Macri, back row Matt and Hank, everybody involved in this has had a hand. The comment came up about Florida State potentially having the best all-time team, right?
I thought this started when we talked about Pro Football Hall of Famers.
Oh, Pitt.
And Pitt, I said Pitt was kind of a sleeper with 9. Miami's got 9. Syracuse has 8. That was a bar bet, right? We said, hey, could you name the top 3 teams in the ACC who have put players into Canton? And you probably would not get all 3. And the answer is and Pitt with 9, Syracuse with 8. And that kind of flowed into, man, if you went back through history with your favorite ACC team and tried to put an all-time great team together for each school, What would it look like? And that's kind of what spurred on this conversation.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
I say it all the time. If you put together all-time teams for every college football team in the country, the best of, you know, the best players they ever had, put them all together. Let's do all-time teams. I would take Pitt over anybody.
Whoa. All right, Paul Zeiss, as he said. By the way, I hope he didn't get rained out making the turn there, shooting 194 up there at Pittsburgh. He was he spent some quality time with us off the turnpike on his way to the golf course. And, of course, you know, Zeiss is basically saying, hey, hail to Pitt. Strap it on. Let's go. Yeah. So we're going to take a look, Mr. Durham, big picture, all-time teams with a handful here in the ACC. And I'll let the fans have some fun with this because I'm just going to tell you, you're going to be blown away with some of the names coming your way.
First of all, remember now, we're looking at basically 10 man on offense, 10 man on defense, and you can sub out, you know, one of the defenders if you want to put a special teams guy in there or whatever the case may be. Some people want to build it all the way out. Feel free if you want to try and do that too. The idea here is, can you put a team together on 10 guys and look at playing another school? And what would that game look like, okay? And to Paul's point, we'll get to Pitt in our next segment here, but we'll start with Virginia Tech.
Wait a minute.
Because
Emphasize that again. You're going to start with Virginia Tech. Hokie Nation, I point this out every single time now because I get bombarded with Hokie Nation. They always gets mad at us. You guys always put us last. We start with Virginia Tech. All right, Wes, go right ahead.
Yes. We're starting with Virginia Tech on the offensive side, okay? Michael Vick's the quarterback.
You better believe it.
Kevin Jones and David Wilson are the running backs.
Mm-hmm.
Antonio Freeman and Andre Davis are the wide receivers. The tight end, Jeff King. Jim Pine, Dwayne Brown, Eugene Chung, George Press are the offensive linemen. Press, by the way, a star on the 58 Colts team. Arguably the greatest game ever played. Defensively, Bruce Smith, Robert Brown, Corey Moore, Cornell Brown, Vince Hall, and Cody Grimm, the linebackers. D'Angelo, you think you could win with D'Angelo Hall, Jimmy Williams, Brandon Flowers, and Cam Chancellor in the secondary?
Yes, we can.
Holy smokes.
We can win at Virginia Tech with that combo.
There's David Wilson.
Yep. Forget seven.
By the way, seven now. This is unfair. I would. 78.
Bruce Smith.
Who we got? There's my guy. Here's my guy, D. Hall. Now they're not touching him. The idea of the running back situation here with Kevin Jones and David Wilson. Don't forget they had. Was it Darren Evans and Lee Suggs, two-pack? Remember those two guys? They were lights out good.
I like Jones and Wilson, though. I would have given that the nod.
I agree.
All right. The cool thing about what you're getting ready to hear about for the next 20, 30 minutes when we rattle through these teams, it will register. You'll go, oh, man, I forgot all about that guy, right? And you'll have a flood of memories mm-hmm. of games and plays and all that stuff. And again, we're going to try to tie all this together with what happens if Virginia Tech played that Pitt team. And, you're going to get a list and see all these names in Florida State, right. Miami, Clemson, et cetera, Syracuse, et cetera, et cetera. It's
Syracuse,
really impressive.
Syracuse, Miami, yeah.
Right. It's impressive what you're about ready to hear.
All right, so 844-SAY-ACCN if you see somebody we've left off here. Clemson is next. The Tigers, Deshaun Watson, the quarterback, Travis Etienne and C.J. Spiller are the running backs. Sammy Watkins and DeAndre Hopkins, the wide receivers. Benny Cunningham, the tight end. Joe Bostic, Kyle Young, Mitch Hyatt, Stacey Long, the offensive lineman. Okay, that's the offense. Defensively, William Perry, Christian Wilkins, Gaines Adams, Chester McLaughlin. And then LaVon Kirkland and Isaiah Simmons, the linebackers. Donnell Wolford, Mackenzie Alexander, Brian Dawkins, and Terry Kennard. No Jeff Davis. All right, whatever.
You could.
That's the Clemson order.
Yeah, you could. And that defensive line could have gone probably two or three deep too, by the way. But nevertheless, good luck trying to put together just a team, right? You know, just the way it is. And listen, every one of these teams you're going to see, you're going to go, boy, they're loaded. Yeah, you better believe they're loaded. And we're talking about all-time teams now. You go as far back as since you've been playing football, but that was a that's a pretty filthy group right there in Death Valley.
What about Michael Dean?
Michael Dean
Michael
very
Dean
could have been on
this
there.
List?
Well, you could put William, Michael Dean, whatever the case may be on that. Quan Bowers. I mean, listen.
Cleveland Ferrell not on this list?
You could go on a bunch of different ways. I'm just telling you. You're only allowed one line here, Wes. Like I said, if you went to second team, third team, yeah, you throw a bunch of dudes on there. It's hard to do these. Really, really hard.
All right. Next is Syracuse. And we'll start with Donovan McNabb at quarterback.
Look at that combo.
The running back's the easiest layup in the history of football. Jim Brown and Ernie Davis.
Hmm.
Marvin Harrison and Art Monk, the wide receivers.
Pretty good.
John Mackey, the tight end. And then Justin Pugh, Roger Davis, John Flannery, and Jim Ringo, the offensive line. And no issues there.
Nope.
Now, defensively, Dwight Freeney, Tim Green, Ted Gregory, Chandler Jones up front, Keith Bullock and Jim Collins, the linebackers, Kevin Abrams, Marcus Paul, Donovan Darius, the DBs, Gary Anderson is subbed in as the kicker on the all-time Syracuse team. Chandler Jones, the latest pick there on the defense. Well,
watch
I mean,
out.
Come on now. We're going to go Ernie Davis and Jim Brown here.
Watch
come on.
Out.
This is like
black and white photos, baby. Watch out. Who's got a better combination than Jim Brown and Ernie Davis?
Nobody.
I mean, we just got done looking at C.J. Spiller and Travis Etienne.
Is that Maryland? Is that Maryland trying to play, or is that Miami? That's Miami. Good that heavens. Miami. Got burned on the draw.
Yeah.
Miami. Good heavens. So,
keep in mind. Now, wait a minute. Keep in mind. Syracuse has put eight players in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Eight. Again, we go back to a bar bet from last week, Wes. Remember? The top three teams in the ACC in producing players in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Miami and Pitt have nine. Syracuse has eight. Those are the answers. And I think that's a bar bet that you'd absolutely blow your friends away. Everybody go, oh, yeah, Miami, Florida State. And then, you know, they'd come up Clemson. Wrong. Wrong answer. Wrong answer.
Yeah. All right. Before we go to break, Florida State.
Watch out.
Jameis Winston, the quarterback? Come on now.
I don't know if I would have done that.
I don't know about that. I don't know about that.
I mean, you got two other Heisman winners you could have thrown on there. The guy that joined the show this week and Charlie Ward, pretty good player. Chris Lenke won it all, too. But that's the beauty of Florida State, man. You know what? We're going to go three deep in every spot.
Where's Dalvin Cook? Where's Dalvin Cook? I love Warwick Dunn as much as the next guy. Where's Dalvin Cook?
I'm a Warwick Dunn
Fred
guy.
Fred Biletnikoff, Peter Warwick. I'm a Warwick Dunn guy. Anquan Boldin, Pat Carter, the tight end. Now, the line, Clay Shiver, Alex Barron, Walter Jones, Jamie Dukes, all players.
Yes, sir.
Jared Moon could have been on there, too. I don't know about the quarterback now.
Well, hey, we offer this to our listeners and viewers. Put in anybody you want. You want Charlie Ward? You want Chris Winkie? You want somebody else? Go for it. We're just kind of setting the foundation, and then you can play around with it.
All right, let's go to defense, and then I'll have another comment. Okay, Ron Simmons, Derek Alexander, Andre Wadsworth, Peter Bowler. What about Raynard Wilson? Wilson lived in backfields in the 90s.
Wes, how many defensive linemen could you put from Florida State? I mean, it's like Clemson and Florida State and Miami. You would just go,
24.
Oh my God. Yeah, a lot, right. I mean, you got four, so you just got to set the bar somewhere and then let the arguments begin. There are so many guys you can pick here.
All right. Marvin Jones, Derrick Brooks, we got that right. Deion Sanders, T-Buck, Leroy Butler. Wait a second. Derwin James, Jalen Ramsey?
Yeah, those are two dudes that need to be on there somewhere.
Come on! Sebastian Janikowski, I got no problem with. So, there we go. That's Florida State. Come on now. Derwin James, Jalen Ramsey. All right, you want to go back to this Winston conversation? I'm a Charlie Ward or Chris Winkin. I mean, Jameis, yeah, fine. Had a great career. But to me, and by the way, P-Dub, I'm all about Peter Warwick, by the way. There's Dion. All right, so where do you want to start with Florida State?
When you have three Heisman winners, you're going to alienate two. That's the way it works. I personally would have gone Charlie Ward. I've always loved Charlie Ward. I like the way he handles himself, and I loved him playing football. I loved watching him play hoops. I'd have gone Charlie Ward at quarterback. But whatever. If you want to go Jameis, that's fine. Whatever makes you happy. We're not here to offend anybody.
All right. Take a break. When we come back, we got a couple more left.
Don't act so disappointed, Wes.
Couple more.
Don't be so bummed out with this. These are all great teams, great players, and we're going to eventually put them all together and say, all right, who do you like out of this group? You pick. And listen, we're going to get to Pitt, we're going to get to Miami, and your eyeball is going to pop out of your head. It's telling you.
Packer and Durham. This is the Packer and Durham podcast.
All right, Mr. Durham, the next two teams that we're going to unveil, all-time great teams.
Yes, sir.
Right. These are, again, if you weren't impressed with the first four we gave you, I got news for you. Get a life. But these next two are really impressive, in my opinion. Really impressive. There's debates all over the place here.
Remember our friend Paul Zeiss, who said that if you were going to build an all-time team, maybe the greatest school in college football to build an all-time team with, the University of Pittsburgh. Well, here's what our staff came up with. And these boys did nice work here. Dan Marino, Tony Dorsett, Ironhead Hayward in the backfield, Larry Fitzgerald and Antonio Bryant, the wide receivers, with Mike Ditka at tight end. No love for Julius Dawkins at wide receiver. Unbelievable. Bill Frelick, Mark May, Jimbo Covert, Russ Grimm in the offensive line.
How good's that group?
How about that?
How good is that group right there? That's strong, my man. That is strong.
That's just the offense. And I don't know how in the world, if you can't slow them down, I have no idea how you're going to score. Because here's the defense. And, I mean, Hugh Green, Aaron Donald, Chris Dolman, Bill Moss. That's the line. Sal Sinceri, Ricky Jackson, Joe Schmidt, the linebackers. Shante Spencer, Darrell Revis, Ed Schrockman on the perimeter. Seriously? You going to score on that crowd?
Not often.
No. Going to be man press.
How cool are these highlights right here?
There's my man right there. That's 80. That's Julius Dawkins. Oh, we didn't get the celebration. There's 97. Oh, my heavens.
Yeah. You know what? Some of these highlights emphasize one thing to me, Wes, and that is Pitt did a great job going old school, going back to old school. Every time I see Pitt in those dark blue, gold-looking things, it's like, man, get that out of here. Man. Get back to what you are, which they did. Heather Light gets all the credit, and the entire staff up there that wants, hey, we're going back script Pitt. All that stuff's sweet. Mm-hmm. That is some kind of team right there.
Way to go.
That is a strong team right there.
Can we go back and watch my man Julius Dawkins catch that rainbow from Marino? Can we go back and watch that first highlight again at Old Pitt Stadium? Here it is. Watch this. Watch this rainbow. Bang. How good is that? Look at Aaron Donald. Wow. Man, would have loved to have had Pitt in the ACC with that guy, Pack.
Mm.
Right?
Well, I like having Pitt in the ACC now. And I enjoyed, by the way, the tour. I enjoyed the tour last night. Old Pat Narduzzi, you don't think he's wound up at a practice, do you? Checked him out last night, mic'd up. He was wound up, ready to roll. I'm ready for football. Yeah. I'm just so ready to get to September.
Yeah. All right, let's go to Twitter here. DC Pitt fan. Pitt has 9 pro football Hall of Famers, plus 3 more who are guaranteed to get in. Added into some very good players, and it's a pretty good case. Oh, it's a great case.
Yeah.
It's a great case.
Like that team, boys.
Yeah.
I like the next one, too.
I do, too. All right. Yeah. Okay. This one is also fairly stout. All right. Let's go to the offense for the University of Miami. Ken Dorsey.
Don't know about that.
Only one running back because we got 3 wide receivers. We only got Edgerrin James, Michael Irvin, Santana Moss, Andre Johnson. Jeremy Shockey? Yeah. Okay.
Now, how many greats can you pick from?
Bryant McKinney, Leon Searcy, Jim Otto, Vernon Carey. That's pretty solid. I'm going to guess the defense is fairly respectable. What do you think, Pat?
How many slots are we allowed for the Miami all-time great on the defensive side? We allowed 35 guys for first team.
Yeah.
I mean, listen, no matter who you put down, there's an argument because you go, oh, my God, there's 10 other greats we could have put in this spot. This is a ridiculous group right here.
Warren Sapp, Ted Hendricks,
Stork.
Danny Stubbs, Russell Maryland on the front, Ray Lewis, Dan Morgan, the linebackers, no love for Nate Webster, Ed Reed, Antrell Roll, Sean Taylor, and Devin Hester. Is the special teams guy. All right.
Wait. One word comes to mind that list right there. One word. And that word is?
What's that?
Shutout.
Shutout.
Because when you play that group right there, that's what you got going on.
Yeah.
That's called a shutout. Yeah. That is a stout list. But I'm with you on the quarterback at Miami. I don't know if I'd have gone. I know he's got all the records and all that. So I don't know if I'd have gone with Dorsey. Don't know if I'd have done that.
Testaverde won a Heisman Trophy. Jim Kelly. Bernie Kosar. I mean, I get it. I mean, Steve Walsh pretty good, right? I mean, there's plenty to choose from. The tight end thing with me would be Greg Olsen. No offense to Olsen's Jeremy Shockey.
Yeah, how many great tight ends did Miami have? For crying out loud, I mean, you could go 5 deep. But the quarterback, the guy pulling the trigger. If you lined them all up and you said, "Hey, you can pick them in their prime," who do you want? I don't think I would have gone with Dorsey. And again, no disrespect if he's watching or has friends watching. It's nothing personal. You just got to pick somebody. But, man, I tell you what, I've always loved Jim Kelly. Always loved Jim Kelly.
Yeah.
I had a chance to interview him in person a gazillion times and wish him the very best. But I just love the whole gunslinger mentality. And, you know, he's just a football player, man. Football player.
Yeah. And the other thing, too, is that, like, when you look at Ken Dorsey, you're still talking about Vinny Testaverde won a Heisman Trophy, okay? And Miami was, like, unbelievable with him.
Yeah.
I mean, just the presence of the guy. And he played a long time in the league now.
By the way, did he have any time to throw against Florida State in that one clip there? He looked like me running against the kids on Thanksgiving morning when I didn't have a bad knee and foot. I mean, come get me if you can. I mean, that's Florida State, by the way, that was chasing him. That wasn't, Cupcake U. That's Florida State out there chasing him at the old Orange Bowl where it just dripped football. I mean, I love that old place. See you. Touchdown. Catch you. He was tough, man. There were so many guys to pick from. Miami's ridiculous. Ridiculous how much talent.
Yeah,
how
they
much
are.
Talent. Crazy.
Well, all these schools pack. I mean, let's be honest. These six schools right here, this is a – I mean, we're creating question, controversy, and conjecture all in one swing here. You know, I look at – there are other schools in the ACC we could have tried to – but these are the ones that are headlines in like the Pro Football Hall of Fame. It's a look into not only the success of those programs, but what those guys did at the next level as well. And you're putting an all-time team together? How do you measure it? I mean,
all right. Let me ask you
so
something.
Pitt plays.
Let me ask you something. We just gave you six teams. All right, everybody watching and listening, we just gave you six all-time teams. We're gonna jump on the Jim Phillips Joint Committee, and we're all of us here on ACC Network are gonna rank those six teams. We're gonna have ourselves a six-team playoff. Who's won? No. And y'all don't give me that whining. Oh no. Who's one and who's two? Who are the teams that are going to get a bye? Right, we're going to do a little 16 playoff for those six. Who are the two teams that you would give a bye to if we're going to have a little competition?
Pitt and Miami.
I agree with you. You know, you and I haven't changed any notes. You didn't even know I was going to ask that question. I agree with you. I think the last two teams that we gave you were the two most impressive, in my opinion.
Yeah. No, I'm with you on that. Yeah, we'll come back to this in the 9 o'clock hour and see if we can't figure out which the best team is. But Pitt and Miami would be the top two seeds. We'd have to prepare ourselves for an upset, though.
You know what I'd love to see? Of all the teams that we just gave you, and I'm talking about not only those six teams, but offensive line, defensive line, all that stuff, I would have loved to have seen Miami's defense take on Pittsburgh's offense. I would have loved to have seen that list of unbelievable players that we just gave you with Miami on the defensive side going up against that Pitt offensive line and Dan Marino and all that stuff. That would have been awesome.
You would think with all the FPI stuff and tools that we've got under our roof with the Entertainment and Sports Programming Network, we might be able to get some sort of simulation out of this, don't you think? Here's the Miami defense now. Sapp, Hendricks, Stubbs, Maryland up front, Ray Lewis, Dan Morgan, the linebackers, Ed Reed, Antrell Rolls, Sean Taylor in the secondary, Devin Hester, he can play whatever way you want him to play. All right, then you go to Pitt's offense, Marino, Tony Dorsett, Craig Hayward. No Shady McCoy, by the way. He's coming off the bench, by the way, Pack. McCoy comes off the bench.
Fine.
Larry Fitzgerald, Antonio Bryant, Mike Ditka, with Frelick, May, Covert, and Grimm up front.
Man, that offensive line against that defensive line. Man, how much money do you want to charge? You watch that in their prime. Again, we're playing the what if game here. In their prime, that would have been worth whatever you got.
Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Packer and Durham. It's been a very busy week, Wes, as we look back and remember the great life, times, and legacy of Bobby Bowden. And that included one of our interviews yesterday.
Yeah, President John Thrasher of Florida State. We were appreciative of him spending some time yesterday. And we started our visit with him by saying, I have to imagine when you look at the face of Florida State, it's Bobby Bowden. He transformed the idea of the university.
He did. He came on, as you know, in 1976. I think his first season, he was 5-6. And then after that, the rest is history. But before that, clearly, we were okay in some years, but not too good in some other years. And certainly right before he came from West Virginia, we were in a down spiral, and he brought us back. He brought us back and put the university really on the map around the country, no question about it.
President Thrasher went back in the day now. That old football stadium, even Danny Cannell yesterday said it was an erector set, looked like a small high school stadium. When you want to walk through it, and now you drive around campus and you see what that edifice has turned into, and that's all Bobby Bowden, right? I know if he were alive today, he wouldn't take any credit for it. He'd talk about all the other people that made it, but it all started with one central figure, and that was Coach Bowden.
It was. Coach Bowden obviously transformed football, not only for Florida State, but, you know, the impact he had on football across the country. You know, the willingness, the courage to go out and play the Nebraskas, the Notre Dames, the LSUs on the road, you know, without really any major resources coming back, other than if he won, which he did many times on those games, Ohio State, Michigan, all of those were road games. And he made a really impact on college football by saying, hey, let's go out and play the best teams we can play. And I guarantee you, we'll get better, and a lot of other people will get better.
Preston Thrasher, when you take all the values and things you spoke of earlier, and I'm going to guess it gets a little broad-based here. I mean, you're the chief executive officer of a university in the state of Florida that has a lot of things going on a campus. But yet I get the impression Bobby Bowden kind of spread some of that across the entire campus in his tenure and even post-football. I mean, in his retirement, I know he was still connected to the university in a couple different ways.
Very much so. Very much so. He obviously spoke all around the country when he left coaching on a full-time basis. He was still very active in Tallahassee. Our quarterback club featured him. A lot of other organizations always wanted Bobby at any given time to speak to him. He spoke at churches and places here in Tallahassee, but all over the country, really. And so his impact continued until he got to the point where he couldn't travel as well, but he was still involved in the university, very, very cognizant of what was going on at the university. And I tell you, I had the privilege of seeing him a week ago Saturday, and with Ann and Tommy and Robin, two of his children. And I never will forget that and the impact that he not only had on me as a person, but this great university.
President Thrasher, I think the thing that makes him unique, and it's not that he's the only one, but a guy that won so many games and championships and all that stuff, and in some respects, that's almost secondary, isn't it? I mean, the fact that faith was so important to him, family was so important to him, and, you know, it wasn't lip service. He walked it, and that was what the whole foundation was built upon. And, you know, I think I've found myself, even since his passing Sunday morning, and you look back at all the people that he touched that were football guys, but yet they didn't even want to talk about football. It was, hey, he made me a better person. The understanding that respect matters, and it's something that we've kind of all lost, I think, in some terms, looking big picture. But I think that's the thing that's so cool about this. Is that, hey, yeah, it'd be easy talking about national championships and Heismans and a dozen ACC top. It's almost like, hey, that really wasn't even important. The most important thing was treating your fellow man with some respect.
And what? That, no doubt about it. No doubt about it, Mark and Wes. He, you know, you look at the players that he developed and what some of them are doing today, continuing to do in giving back. Charlie Ward, for instance. Could be doing a lot of different things. He's coaching high school basketball right here in Tallahassee, making an impact on young men. And he will tell you, and I know he's going to speak on Saturday, he will tell you that it's largely due to Bobby's influence on him. You look at Warrick Dunn, what he's done in developing homes for homeless folks that needed homes. Derek Brooks and all the different charities and special groups that he supports in the Tampa area. Every one of those players were impacted by Bobby in terms of giving back something to the community. And that's what Coach Bowden was about. It wasn't so much wins and losses. They were important, obviously, to a lot of folks on the front porch of our university and others. But the young men he developed and the young men who are now still carrying on his legacy of giving back to their fellow men and women, that's the legacy, I think, is the biggest for Coach Bowden.
President Thrasher, I don't know the Tucker Center's big enough for Saturday morning. I just don't know. Either. I mean, it's one of those events that, I mean, a lot of people are going to want to be there. I know that.
We're well aware of that. And, the family is also, but you know, whether they come or not, we know thousands will be watching and, certainly, be there in their spirit and their heart. For his great coach and his family, no question about it. But The family's prepared, and they know that the impact this man's had on so many lives. And I think it's a very positive thing for our university, certainly our state, and I'd say our country. Bobby Bowden has an impact on this great country we live in. And just what you said, if we could carry through his values in so many different ways and venues, our country would be a lot better off, no question about it.
Well, I'll tell you what, if everybody was Bobby Bowden, we'd be having different dialogues of issues that we need to address, because the guy treated, whether you were the president of the university or whether you were a janitor or whether you were a sports writer, it didn't matter. He was going to give you respect. He's going to give you the time of day. He's going to look you right in the eye and call you buddy and dadgummit, and don't you going down the road and you felt like you knew him for 100 years. He was a special, special individual.
Took the words right out of my mouth. He was in the hospital last October. My wife was in the hospital, and I went. They were on different floors, and went down to see him. And I walked in because I got permission to do that. And he says, "How, dadgummit, how you doing, buddy?" Just like that.
Great stories this week.
The Packer and Durham Podcast.